Good morning. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Well, this hour, we're going to talk about a book written by a fellow by the name of Larry Ernster. And he's written a book called Rural Wisdom, The Times When Life Has Really Spun Our Wheels, Understanding Today's Events from the Perspective of Country Wisdom. Say what you like about Wisconsin and Minnesota. I think we're still rural states, and there's a lot that we can learn from looking at the country and seeing what happens. Here's a quote from the book from Larry's Grandma Josie. Life, she said, is like a bucket of water. You can splash and churn the water all you want, and when you stop, the water returns to calm. I kind of like aphorisms like that. Let's give the phone numbers in case you'd like to share some of your own rural wisdom with the rest of us. 800-642-1234 is a toll-free number, 800-642-1234. In Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. Larry Ernster, the author of the book Rural Wisdom, The Times When Life Has Really Spun Our Wheels, joins us by telephone this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for getting up, and I understand from reading your book you're not an early riser, so I know this was probably a sacrifice for you.
Well, and we had a thunderstorm roll through here last night, so I woke up about 3 o'clock and found all the clocks in the house blinking. You know, and it reminded me that many, many years ago, we had these mechanical wind-up clocks that we didn't have that kind of problem. We didn't have to go around to, 25 electronic blinking electronic devices after an event and reset them.
Well, that's certainly true. I can still recall the Big Ben alarm clock that my father used for many years, and it was the ticking on that was so loud at night that was the only thing you could hear in the house, I think. Today we have a lot of things that we didn't have in years gone by. Tell us a little bit about your background, your upbringing. You grew up, obviously, from the book. You grew up on a farm, and you're part of a big family.
Yeah, the setting of the book was a small dairy farm with a couple dozen cows, pigs, horses, and chickens, and a farmhouse full of kids. There were 8 of us, plus mom and dad, and that made for a full car ride. The book really isn't about us. We're just wallpaper. You know, the wisdom in the book really comes from the real live characters of my youth, such as the farm bull or the honeybees or an old turkey who lived in a doghouse with a German Shepherd.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. That was very intriguing. That really caught my eye when I was reading some of the press material that came along with this book. A wild turkey living in a doghouse with a dog.
Yeah, his name was Brownie, and he essentially put himself in charge of farm security. So a car would arrive, and Brownie would come trotting out of the doghouse with the German Shepherd right behind him. And the two of them would circle the car and come over to the driver's side and to check you out and make sure you weren't a terrorist. Now, Brownie, he was kind of like the greeter at Walmart, you know. Welcome to the farm. You wanna talk to my people? Let me call them for you. But he wasn't just a greeter. Brownie had backup. Brownie had Poopsie. Poopsie was the white German Shepherd. And the wisdom there is that time is the great equalizer. You, me, and Brownie, we each have the same 24 hours in every day. And we have to decide how we're going to best use those precious moments. Now, Brownie, this bird of some questionable intelligence, had never seen another turkey and had imprinted on humans and yet Brownie found a way to be loved, appreciated, and to contribute to life, which I think is a worthy goal for each of us, and is also the theme of the book.
The title of the book is Rural Wisdom, The Times When Life Has Really Spun Our Wheels. The picture on the cover is of a tractor. It looks like a farmall. A tractor that's buried in a field up to its axle. And I've seen a few of those.
Well, and I actually buried that tractor. I was about 14. I was out in the Southwest 40 in the spring. I was pulling a three-bottom plow and hit a soft spot. And, you know, rural wisdom is not some ivory tower platitudes. Rural wisdom is very experiential. And after I buried that tractor and had to dig it out, I was smarter. And that's kind of the wisdoms that come from this book, real experiences and real learnings.
Well, we have to take a break to check on the weather around the state of Wisconsin. And when we come back, I want to talk about how you applied the things you learned in the country to the city. We'll get back to that, and we'll take your phone calls at 800-642-1234 and 263-1890. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 17 and a half minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday morning, the fifth day of October 2007. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. She'll be back on Monday. Here's what's coming up later on the Ideas Network. After 10, Kathleen Dunn talks with historian Jeffrey Ward, who wrote the book and the script for the PBS film series The War, which tells the stories of those who experienced and helped win the war that shaped our world. That's after 10 this morning with Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about a new book by Larry Ernster with the author. The book is titled Rural Wisdom, The Times When Life Has Really Spun Our Wheels. It's a collection of short stories and essays and has plenty. It's chock full of things that will make you think about your own life. And Mr. Ernster is joining us by telephone this morning. When you were 17 years old, you left the family farm and you moved to the big city. What was that experience like for you?
The farm was stable. It was home. And as I grew up, kids seldom appreciate what they have. And I was surrounded by love. I was surrounded by family. Everything was stable. Nothing changed. And it essentially drove me crazy. And so I had to get out of there. So I left and went into the service and college. And I found that strangers, from one perspective, treated me better. They gave me a fresh start, and they looked at who I was. But they really never listened to my story. And so moving to the farm or moving to the city was in the city you have, I don't know if you want to call it privacy, because in Caledonia, nearly everybody is related to everybody and everybody knows everybody's business. But in the city, you actually have some bit of privacy, which what I found out after years, that's really something to give up to know everybody and to have everybody know your business. That's really one of the wonderful things about the country, living in a small town.
Well, there certainly is accountability built into that. If everybody knows what you're doing, I suppose that has a pretty significant impact on personal behavior.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I've often suggested that when the radio station or the newspaper is owned by a person who has to meet his customers in church every Sunday, the content will be significantly affected by that.
Yeah, the involvement, you know, we did have a family reunion in Caledonia, and nearly everybody did show up. You know, we talk about, well, everybody knows everybody's business. It's like everybody's related. But when they showed up for the family reunion, I mean, genealogically, we could prove that everybody was related to everybody. And you think about it, after a few generations, you know, after a few generations, you have an awful lot of grandparents. And if I can use our farm as an example, you know, we have six generations on our farm right now. The kids that are living there mark the sixth generation. And, you know, you and I, we think that we're really smart and successful, and we've accomplished a lot. But it's our ancestors that really deserve all the credit for our success. I mean, you think about it. Everything we have, we really got from our ancestors. First, they gave us our bodies. Then they fed us, educated us, gave us our beliefs, our sense of self, our confidence. And we like to take the credit. We like to think we're smart. But, you know, think of the elevated platform, the broad shoulders from which we were raised, and the head start that we were given. So there's, we really have to give a lot of credit to our ancestors for our success. Personally, I just try to take all the credit myself.
Well, it's simpler that way than trying to remember where you got it. But, you know, every generation is shaped by the one that came before it, their experiences and so forth. Those of us who are of the baby boom generation were shaped by parents who grew up during the Depression and World War II, and those major events were life-altering, life-shaping events for them. And I think it colored the way we were raised. That's one aspect of it. But one of the things you point out, you talk a lot about, and there's one example in there where you're talking about the advance of technology and how that has changed farming, for example. And there are a lot of applications to that just in everyday life. I was really struck by that.
You know that, yeah, and I get struck by that every time I drive out to visit my daughter, who lives in southwestern Minnesota, where they have the huge, huge farms, and I also get corrected. You know, since I've moved to the city, I've kind of moved away from the technology of farming, so I watch it more from the road rather than the seat of the tractor. And so in there, I have this one sentence. It says, you know, farming has changed, and farmers are now picking corn 8, 10, or 12 rows at a time. And I immediately got a call from my cousin who picked up the book, and he said, there's a mistake there. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, they don't make 10-row corn pickers. And I said, well, okay. Thanks for that edit there. But technology, yeah, especially when you contrast it against the way it used to be done. And I think one of the comments I make, you know, now they sit in an air-conditioned cab rather than walking alongside the horses and picking the corn. I mean, and the volume is tremendous.
Well, you talk about your father lamenting the passing of the technology of corn picking. You mentioned the horses, but manually shucking each ear of corn and things like that, and how your father lamented the passing of that technology, and it's and then in your time it changed to something else, and then there was a further change. So, I mean, the constant here is that every generation something new comes along. What are the lessons that you've learned here that can apply to the rest of us? I mean, the book talks about the things you learned and how they affected your life. What are the lessons that you learned and maybe that you thought about as you're writing this that can apply to everybody?
Well, you know, one of the favorite stories in the book is the story about the nose ring. And first time I saw a nose ring, a waitress walked up to me, and it was kind of like, wow, you know, kind of takes you back. But, and that reminded me of the nose jewelry we used on the farm. I mean, we had nose jewelry for cows, pigs, horses, and chickens, even chickens. We put a little aluminum spectacles on them to keep them from pecking. And the lesson there is that the way someone looks, the way they dress, their philosophy, the differences are often jarring. But differences can be the refreshing high point of your day, and differences can strengthen a community and add diversity to a community. So differences aren't all that. That's one lesson, you know, of how the country really has value in the city.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number. You can call to join our conversation this morning. 800-642-1234. 263-1890 is the number you should use if you're calling for Madison. That's our local number there. We're talking with Larry Ernster about his new book, Rural Wisdom, The Times When Life Has Really Spun Our Wheels, Understanding Today's Events from the Perspective of Country Wisdom. I'd like to toss a question out to our listeners to try to answer. What lessons, we are a rural state. Wisconsin is a rural state, like Minnesota is a rural state. And I'd like to know if our listeners have the same kinds of lessons and the things they learned growing up and how they apply them today. Maybe if you were raised in a rural area and moved to the big city, talk about the changes that you had to go through when that was when that took place. What happened? Maybe you, the first time you went to a large urban area was when you went to college. Call and share your stories. Share your stories with us. 800-642-1234 and 263-1890 are the numbers to use to join the conversation. You can also send us an email, talk@wpr.org. Yeah. Well, I want to we've got about a minute before we have to break for the news. I wanted to ask you after you went to college, what did you do as what has your career been? Obviously, it hasn't been farming.
Yeah, no, I'm a computer guy. I provide computer technology for business and industry. So if you need your computer fixed, and which is a very handy family. Benefit. So many of my relatives use me to fix their computers.
Well, you know, I maybe I'll have a computer question before the end of the show. I'm constantly doing battle with them, and one thing I find is even though I say to myself the machine is stupider than I am, in many cases there's no evidence for that. So maybe
it may be dumber, but it's more stubborn.
Well, yeah, it really, yeah, it, I'll tell you, computers have taught me the value of asking good questions, because if you don't ask good questions, you'll get junk for answers. We're just about at news time, and we're having a very enjoyable conversation about the book Rural Wisdom, and you can join in and participate at 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:35. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. She'll be back on Monday. It's Friday, October the 5th, 2007. This hour we're talking about a new book that's just out called Rural Wisdom by Larry Ernster. And we have the author joining us by telephone, and you can join us as well at 800-642-1234. And 263-1890 if you're in Madison. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. I want to toss out some thought questions for our audience and see who responds to these. Here's a question that came to me from our producers. It's their favorite question. If you've lived both in the city and country, call in with stories about which one you prefer. Maybe that would be something you want to talk about. Dwayne in Hayward has something he'd like to talk about, and let's go to the phones and welcome Dwayne to the conversation. Dwayne, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning. What I find is that, you know, Well, we have country roads because country folks are more reliable, more self-sufficient. They know if something, you know, being an old farm boy, if something breaks, you fix it. You don't wait for someone else to come and do it for you. I find what city people do is that they move to the country hoping for country values, but instead they try to force the city values under the country folks. You know, they want more paved roads, they want more police and fire protection. Something happens at the house, first thing they do is call 911 instead of fixing it themselves. Now, case in point, local fire department got a call of a child with his arms stuck in between the slots of a chair. The mother had no clue how to put soap on it. She moved here from Chicago. She called the fire department. It was a 40-mile drive for the fire department to go out there and put a little soap on the child's arm. You know, country folks have a lot more wisdom because they were forced into it.
You know, thanks for the call. You know, I think you're right. You know, one of the first things that a farm kid learns is how to talk to machinery, or more accurately, how to listen. You know, machinery is constantly talking to you. Every time there's a knock, a tick, or a squeal, it's the machine's way of telling you what it needs. When the baler starts squealing, something needs greasing, you know, and if there's a rattle, get out a wrench and tighten things up. You know, and if you ignore those things, you can wreck a good machine in an afternoon. But if you pay attention and do something about it, a well-built machine will serve you a lifetime. You know, and I knew that. But then one day, I'm driving around the city, and my car started talking to me. And I ignored her for a couple of weeks. And so one of the stories is about what happens when you ignore someone.
Well, what does happen when you ignore someone? What happened to your car?
Well, the good news is I didn't get stranded on the freeway, because up here in the cities, that's a very dangerous thing. No one's going to stop for you. You know, I was driving out in the country. I was on my way to my daughter's, and Mary Chris and I stopped to change drivers, and two cars stopped, a car and a pickup stopped to help us change drivers. But up in the cities, you know, we had the bridge collapse and over here, and they reported that 140,000 cars an hour go by. And so it's just too dangerous to stop up here in the cities to help someone, and they're well patrolled.
Well, when the cars are whizzing by at 70 plus miles per hour, it's a little dangerous to be by the side of the road, period. I guess one of the things that kind of struck me when I was reading your book was, and you go back to what the caller had to say about fixing things. I didn't necessarily grow up in a large city, but I didn't grow up on a farm. My father was raised on a dairy farm, and he always said that there were very few things that he couldn't fix with his Purina knife and baling twine. That didn't resonate with me until I married a girl who was raised in a rural setting, and her father raised horses, among other things. And as I started spending time on his place, I started to learn about things like that. I had to I learned to change my own oil and do a lot of things that, you know, you just don't think about it. Well, there's a place where you go and they change your oil. You don't crawl under your own car and mess with that stuff. But there's a great deal of pleasure to be had in doing things for yourself and learning how to properly set a fence post and cut down a tree. Maybe that's just a guy thing. I don't know. But it really was something about your book that really resonated with me, and I think it will with others as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a rural thing, as the caller mentioned. The farmer has to be, you know, an electrician, farmer, a veterinarian. He has no construction, because you are out there, and we had on the farm, almost nothing got thrown away. If something broke, well, it'll work better for a smaller piece of something else later on. And it does make for a bit of a clutter sometimes, but you've got a place to put that clutter.
The you know, one of the things, and again, this has to do with the march of technology, and some of this repairing things yourself has gone the way of hand shucking the corn, simply because technology has changed to the point where, for example, TV repair businesses are pretty much a thing of the past. Televisions are so cheap that you can't afford to fix them. One breaks, you throw it out and buy another one. But that's happened in a lot of areas. And
mechanics as an example.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was really fun to go out and work on your car, but now it's so computerized, and I'm a computer guy, you know. But now it's so computerized, you got to have a gazillion dollars worth of equipment in order to work on your car.
Well, you can't, on a cold morning, if your car isn't starting, you can't take the air cleaner off and spray some ether down the throat of the carburetor because there isn't one. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was like that. But, you know, there's really a number of parallels here. A radio station I once worked at, we had an old fellow who'd been a chief engineer for years and had started when you didn't order a transmitter for your radio station from some company. You bought all the parts and you built it yourself. And something really bad happened, and he was kind of semi-retired, and the owner had hired a consulting engineer, and the consultant is standing there wringing his hands saying, well, it's going to take at least 2 weeks to get the parts that we need to fix this, and so you're going to be off the air for a while. And it was a real busy season, a lot of commercials to play. And then all of a sudden, the old engineer who'd been ignored in all of this came around and turned the transmitter back on, turned to the owner of the station and said, well, you're back on the air. Well, he had just fabricated what was needed out of some stuff he had saved in the back of the shop, just enough to get by until the new stuff could arrive. But the newer engineer, it didn't even occur to him to do that. And I think that's an example of some of the stuff that you're talking about, how time changes and it changes the way we look at the world.
Right. Today, it's a disposable world, and there was an NPR that people carrying their trash around, that it kind of points out just how we've gotten used to just use it and throw it away. Everything's a Kleenex these days.
That's right. Yeah, everything. If you don't, yeah, once you're done with it, just toss it, because there's no point in keeping it. And we build things on purpose to be thrown away. It does seem to be, it's a little counterintuitive. We're just about at time to take a break and check the weather around the state of Wisconsin again. I want to give the phone numbers, so people are starting to call in, and we'll get to those calls right after the weather break. But there's still a couple of lines available for you if you'd like to join our discussion. The topic is the book, Rural Wisdom, written by Larry Ernster. The times when life has really spun our wheels. It talks about the lessons learned on the farm that can be applied to life anywhere. But the focus is how it can be applied to life in a more urban environment in which many of us live today. You can join us by phone at 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, 800-642-1234. In Madison, however, we'd like you to use our local number, 263-1890. You can send an email. Now, there's a modern contrivance. Email address, talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just about 6:47, you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. Today, she'll be back on Monday. Well, here's what's coming up a little later on the Ideas Network. On Garden Talk after 11 today, Larry Mueller welcomes a double-barreled team of gardening experts. They are UW Extension gardening educators Lisa Johnson of Dane County and Mike Maddox of Rock County. That's on Garden Talk after 11 this morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, the topic is rural wisdom and how it's applied to life in the big city. And we have the author of that book, Larry Ernster, with us. And we have some callers who are waiting to join us. So let's go to the phones, and we'll take a call from PB in Zumbrota. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. And I appreciate your station and the whole network. And now for Mr. Ernster. We'll find out if he's real stuff. You have an uncle or a cousin that we used to call Tex in the 1930s. and his name was Cletus, and he lived in Texas. Now, during the war, he flew the Huff from India to China, but then he bought a private plane, and it had a 1,000-foot strip of his own with a twin-engine plane. He would fly that plane, no wind, and have it over on its back before he reached the end of that 1,000 feet. Now, where's the wisdom in that? And could you tell me, do you think he was counting grasshoppers?
Well, I'm not familiar with Uncle Cletus.
Texas, what we called him, he lived south of Victoria in Texas. But you're all related, and I can attest to that. And congratulations on having an author from Caledonia.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we have a big, big family. The name is familiar, but I have never met Cletus, and I have actually, these are new stories to me. That's the wonderful thing about having a large family is they do spread out, and the, you know, each of us grows up and has wonderful adventures in our life. How did you know Cletus?
We were contemporaries in the 1930s in high school.
Okay.
So I'm over 20.
Yeah.
But he was an outstanding pilot who learned by the seat of his pants. And you had another relative who managed to crash a plane and was seriously injured. So, as I say, I've never understood why Tex wanted to fly upside down that low. And the only thing is, he must have been counting grasshoppers.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
That's
for that
not
story.
Something. It's not something I'd want to do from a plane. Is count grasshoppers. Let's go next to Ernest in Hayward. Good morning, Ernest.
Good morning. When I left the farm outside of Hayward to go to Washington D.C., I expected an urban environment, and I wasn't surprised. But what shocked me was when I returned to northern Wisconsin, I got out of Washington, D.C. alive, and I'm dead earnest when I say that, that northern Wisconsin had really, despite its rural charm, had become really urban. You didn't do anything for yourself, and it's not just because you didn't want to or didn't know how. The government regulation had stopped you from doing anything for yourselves. You couldn't build your own home anymore. I wanted to build an innovative and energy-efficient home back on the old family land, and I wanted to showcase a lot of ideas, but I couldn't do that. It happened gradually. You know, in the 1970s, there was a Zoning Act, and then the building codes in the 1980s, capped off by the Home Safety Act in 2005, and now you can't do anything for yourselves anymore.
There's and that is painful, I think, for people who are independent, self-reliant, to say, well, you know, get out of my face. Just leave me be and let me do my stuff. And a lot of the pride that I think the rural farmers and have comes from that, being self-reliant, being able to fix whatever's broke and make whatever you need.
So, what are the I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that is kind of painful, and it's kind of a disappointment also, because a lot of our strength, I think the strength of the community, the strength of our nation, came from that self-reliance and independence.
Could I say something?
Sure,
go ahead.
There is one constant that I've observed since the New Deal days, and that is the Farm Bill, which gives all this welfare to the big farmers, and the small farmers are left out. And that's another thing that is destroying the rural areas. And I think a lot of people go along with that farm subsidies because they think they're helping a family farm, but they're not. They're actually tilting the playing field in favor of these big corporate farms. And with your transportation and your fossil fuel subsidies, it allows these big farms to supply cities and people that are 1,000 miles away. But that's not going to last. So things are going to have to start changing. But the government is going to have to reverse its policies.
Thanks for the call. We got an email from Lorraine in Marathon County I wanted to share with you. Here's what Lorraine has to say. Did you notice there is no longer what was called horse sense anymore? Every action has a consequence, and if you're from the country, everything you do affects everything and everyone around you. So you stop and think long range, because even your children will be living in the same place, possibly. If you're from the city, you don't know the people living around you, and your children will probably be living somewhere else. Every action has an effect on you sometime in the future, but not in the city.
You know, just the comment that she made that you're going to be living somewhere else. I mentioned earlier that we grew up on, this is really our sixth generation on the farm, and unfortunately, it's no longer a working farm, but the stability that those kinds of roots, having access to a sixth generation farm, is tremendous. I mean, you think of I spent the holidays there with my parents and my grandparents, and now and then my kids get to come there. We do the Easter egg hunt in the farm and roam the woods, and the same old trees that were there when I was a kid are a lot bigger now, but they're still there. And now my grandkids are there, all of us having this shared experience. And that brings, I think that's another thing that the city has kind of tossed aside, like used Kleenex, that and people move around and, you know, looking for bigger houses, better houses, rather than and ignoring the stability and strength that comes from just putting down some roots and making it work where you are.
Let's take a call next from George in Rubicon. George, good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate the program. As I told your, and good morning to your guest. I am a third generation dairy farmer who moved back to the farm after working in town because I wanted my kids to grow up on the farm and get some farm values. And the one value that I don't recall that I heard you talk about too much is just the simple value and virtue of doing good, hard work. I use the example of my girls who complained to me vigorously and often that their friends didn't have to get up in the morning and milk cows, and their friends didn't have to work late on Friday and Saturday nights, and their friends didn't have to pick stones. And I told them, girls, someday you're going to thank me for this. And believe it or not, now that they're in their 20s, they both have.
You know, one of the things that has been so valued by our nation is the work ethic. And I know when I went into the service, the military service, I thought it was actually quite easy. And of course, I'm next to all these city kids that couldn't do push-ups, didn't have the physical conditioning, and really had no appreciation for good hard day's work. And so, yeah, and I think that has served me well all my life, being willing to get up and do what needs to be done and move on. So, you know, George, you said you're a dairy farmer. You know, as I was, grew up on a small dairy farm. But, you know, one of the things I noticed on our farm was that we never had any male animals on our farm. Every time one was born, it was exiled from the farm and given a short trip to the sales barn. And then or it was demasculated, or worse, it was murdered. That was the treatment we gave to all male animals: exile, demasculation, or murder. And that made my brothers and me kind of nervous, a little cautious, lest we get the same kind of treatment. But the story should help the ladies understand why us guys are the way we are.
I have a lot more respect for women in childbirth, having helped, I don't know, thousands of cows have calves. Obviously, unfortunately, you don't have a story about the day the mature bull almost killed me. Most of my farmer friends who are still in business tell you a story like that, and until you've come face to face with a mature bull whose intent is to murder you, perhaps you don't appreciate that. And for many of us, it's a matter of practicality that we don't have the space or the feed, so those male animals have to go elsewhere, and what's done with them after that is, well, become part of the economic aspect of Wisconsin agriculture. But yes, we don't have any male animals on our farm either, and the bull comes in a straw.
Okay, I think we'll have to leave it there. We've got less than 30 seconds to go till we get to the end of the program. I sure have enjoyed our conversation this morning. Your book is published by Author House, and I assume we can get more information about it at www.authorhouse.com.
The book can be bought at almost anywhere on the web. It's at most of the major bookstores. There's going to be a book signing. I'll be on WEAU next week on television.
Okay. Good. We have to leave it there.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
And thank you, John.
You're very welcome. Larry Ernster, the author of Rural Wisdom. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.